Good morning, everybody. What a crowd. I think some of us found out we like to serve ice cream on Sundays. This is awesome. My name is Reese. I'm one of the pastors of our Trinity family, and I'm excited this morning to dive into the Word of God with you. And so we're going to do that this morning, okay? There's one thing I think we all, there's many things we all have in common, but the one thing we majorly have in common, I think right now, with so much uncertainty surrounding us in this COVID-19 crisis and, you know, this racial tension and political divide and all these things going on. I think each and every one of us at times, if we're honest, during this time has had a little bit of worry, a little bit of anxiousness, maybe a little bit of fear, right? Worry about things like maybe you lost a job, you're worried you're going to get, where you're going to get your next one. Maybe you worry about things like your marriage or your finances. Maybe you worry you have a full-time job, but now you have to teach your kids full-time as well. How's that going to work out, right? That's a major worry we're running into right now. Maybe you're worried about your physical health, maybe your mental health. Maybe you're worried about coronavirus. Maybe you're worried about our country's future. Maybe you're worried about the church's future. Maybe you're worried about, there's so many things you're worried about. I think some of you, maybe some of you this morning are just worried that you picked a wedgie and maybe someone saw you. I don't know. Okay, maybe I don't know what you're worried about. But we're all worried about different things, right? That's one thing that kind of hits every single one of us is worry, anxiety, and fear. And it seems like in year 2020, which we're going through right now, I think each and every one of us, most people, would probably, if we were presented with a restart button, would hit it, wouldn't we? We'd hit that restart button right now. I know I would. Well, maybe not. My daughter was born in 2020, so I just got to suck it up. But the rest of you, maybe you would hit the restart button. But as uncertainty has risen in 2020, it seems like, at least in my lifetime, maybe some of you are different, but it seems like in my lifetime that the uncertainty has never been higher. Uncertainty has never been higher. And when uncertainty rises, what happens? Crisis amplifies things. Worry rises. Anxiety tends to rise. Fear tends to rise. As uncertainty rises, as it continues to rise and bubble up, we sometimes can get into a moment of, or moments of doubt. We start thinking, well, God, what do you really have a plan for what's going on? Are you really in control? Are you really as caring and loving as you say you are? And we might not proclaim that from the rooftops. We might not say that to everybody, but those kind of things tend to seep into our hearts. Now, I know we know this, but it's good to be reminded of this, that we aren't the only people in the history of the world that have faced tough times. You know that, right? Yeah, we're not the only ones that have faced tough times. In fact, I would argue that we have it pretty easy compared to a lot of generations in the past of what has happened in their lifetime and what they've had to deal with. And one of those times that would have been, and it's a lot harder than it is now, I guarantee you, was the time when Jesus entered our world in biblical times. The time when Jesus entered our world as a baby in a manger was a time of political turmoil, of war, of factions, of political divisiveness. If you think the political landscape is rough now, I guarantee you then it was worse. Guarantee you it was worse. Back then, the Roman Empire was in charge, if you didn't know that, when Jesus jumped on the scene. And there was only one way that the Roman Empire stayed in charge. One way they governed. You know what that is? By force. By distilling fear in their empire. That's how they governed and kept the empire together and in rule. It wasn't uncommon to be walking down the streets and there would be Roman patrols walking down the streets, and if you looked at them wrong, if you did something out of line, it wouldn't be uncommon for them to beat you in front of everyone to make an example out of you. And maybe you didn't even do anything wrong. There's just the Roman patrol was getting bored and they just wanted to, you know, have some fun. They would beat you right there in front of everybody and make a big example of you. The Roman Empire, they ruled by force and by distilling fear. And if you didn't abide by the law, they would make you abide by the law. And they had a tax rate that was incredibly high. And the reason it was incredibly high is because it was meant to keep you from accruing wealth. It was meant to keep you down. I read saw a blog and then I listened to a podcast a couple weeks ago about how they're thinking like 85, 87% of the Roman Empire was just trying to survive. day by day, just trying to survive. Now, I know some of us can't even, most of us in this room don't really have any lens to even kind of really understand that. But it was poverty like you've never seen before, just trying to survive. Many of them uncertain of where their next meal might come, uncertain whether to what tomorrow will bring, uncertain if they'll have clothes for tomorrow, if they lost their clothes, or if they lost their food, whatever. They didn't know how they're going to get fed tomorrow. There was an uncertainty that was bubbling at the surface and was rising as Jesus walked this earth. Really, a lot of parallels to what we are going through now. Now, like I said before, not many of us are worried about. We're just so blessed where we're living here. Not many of us are really worried about what we're going to wear tomorrow. Not many of us are worried about how we're going to put food on the table tomorrow. We're not worried about where we're going to sleep tomorrow. Thank God. He's blessed us in that way. But it doesn't mean we still don't have worries and fears and anxieties and dealing with real world issues that really impact all of us, because we are. But Jesus has this amazing teaching. Amazing teaching. It's part of what is called the Sermon on the Mount. It's really, Jesus had a multi-day, we might think of it now as like a conference, right? A multi-day kind of teaching where he had a bunch of disciples and he was teaching them all, kind of the pinnacle of his teachings, the kind of the consummation of his teachings, if you will. And it's in this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has an amazing teaching, a part of this sermon, on how we are to deal with worry, how we are to deal with anxiety, how we are to deal with fear when it comes to uncertainty of the future. So I'm excited to dive into that with you today. It's in Matthew chapter 6. Turn there with me if you can. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. Feel free to pull it up on your smartphone or your tablet, your paper Bible, whatever you have with you. Feel free, if you're new with us this morning and you don't know where everything is in the Bible, use that table of contents. If you got it, that's what it's there for. If someone around you is struggling to find the place in Matthew, please help them out, okay? Matthew 6. And as we dive into the Word together this morning, let's pray. Pray with me. Father, we just come to you this morning. We know there's so much uncertainty in our world right now. There are so many things swirling around that could bring on worry and anxiety and fear. We just pray this morning that you would speak through your word, Lord. They don't need to hear me speak. They don't need my opinions on how they need to tackle their worry, anxiety, their fear, the uncertainty of the future. They need your word. They need your truth. So I pray this morning that each and every heart, Lord, would receive that, and you would speak to each and every one of our hearts in the way that you only know that each and every one of our hearts need to be spoken to you this morning. Would you do a mighty work in and through us this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you're new with us this morning, or maybe you have been gone for a while, we're in the middle of a sermon series called Awaken. And really what we're doing is every single week, we know there's these things that as we've gone through COVID-19 and all of the kind of the craziness of this year, we have learned certain things. God has still blessed us to learn lessons as the church that we want to take with us into the future. And that's exactly what this sermon series is about, is talking through those lessons, talking about what does God want us to learn here in this season? Because guess what? God allowed this season to happen. God is in full control. We don't want to go through this in vain. God doesn't want us to go through this in vain. He has something for us in this season. We want to take those lessons with us into the future as the church. And today we're going to be talking about being awakened to priorities and provision. Okay, priorities and provision. That might seem confusing right now, but it won't here in a few minutes, okay? So let's dive in together. Matthew 6, verse 25. Jesus says, he says, therefore I tell you, okay, I'm going to stop right away, okay? Anytime, this is just good practice, anytime you see a therefore in Scripture, we need to dig and find out what it's there for. Yeah, you guys have heard that before, right? And this therefore is there because he just got done talking about material things, finances, money. And he says this amazing saying in verse 24, which would have been very radical at the time and still is radical today. It says, no one can serve two masters, verse 24, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Essentially, and maybe some of you heard this before, essentially what Jesus is saying here is there is one throne on your heart. You can't put God there, and you can't put money there. You either got to put money, material things, the things of this world, or you put God there. And the thing you're devoted to the most is what is ruling your heart. And it's no mistake that Jesus is talking about finances here as he goes into this section about being anxious and worried and fearful. Because back in that time, the number one, it's the same today, right? It's never changed. The number one thing that kind of brings about worry, fear, and anxiety in people's life is what? Finances, money, material things. It's the same today. Many of us are worried about our finances in this time. Maybe you've been laid off by a job. Maybe your salary's been reduced in your career, in your job, or you're just having a hard time getting by financially. Maybe your retirement fund, you're seeing some of that go away. Whatever it is, finances still is the number one thing that people stress about, that they worry about. So this is amazingly relevant for today. We're going to dive into it here. It says, verse 25 now, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Now, when I first read this the other day, how many of you have ever told an anxious person just to stop it? Just stop being anxious. Come on. Suck it up. Just stop being anxious. Let's cut that out. Does that work? Has anybody had success doing that? Yeah, exactly. And I don't think so. My wife has been challenged with anxiety in her past, and I've tried that. It didn't go over so well. In fact, it often made it worse. And it might seem like Jesus here is telling us, "Hey, just don't be anxious, okay? You got all these worries. Just don't be anxious about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. Just don't be worried about that stuff, okay? Go get an inner tube, sit on the lazy river with a iced latte, and just forget about the cares of life." Is that what Jesus is telling us here? Just sit and forget about everything. It might seem that's what he's telling us, but he's actually reminding us of something here that I don't think many of us, we know, but we don't really keep at the forefront of our minds. Is that the things that we actually strive for in life, almost everything that we strive for, even the good things, are not eternal things. He's trying to refocus them here just slightly as he starts to refocus their whole outlook on life, whole perspective here, as he does that with us in his word as well. He's saying, hey, those things that you really search for, things you drink, things you put on, he's not saying they're not important, but he's saying, hey, remember there is more important things than that. And we do well to remember that as well as we go forward into this. Then Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. And we say, Jesus, I don't want to look at the birds of the air. I need a job, okay? I don't have time to look at the birds. My kids are going to be home in this hybrid model of school for 3 days a week. I'm still at home working full-time in my job. I'm struggling getting it done at home the way it is now, and now I have to teach my kids 3 days a week at home as well. Jesus, don't tell me to look at the birds. What are you doing? No, he says, look at the birds. He's got a point here. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Now, have you ever realized, and maybe I've just never thought about this before, maybe you haven't either, that birds don't necessarily store up for tomorrow. Did you know that? Now, there might be a couple species in the world that might do that, but most birds, they aren't going to store up food for tomorrow. Birds work hard today. They work hard to find food today, but they're totally trusting, really, in God that he's going to provide the things they need for today. They're not worried about tomorrow. They don't think about tomorrow. They don't have that kind of thought process. Now, Jesus is not saying here not to be wise and to put money in our savings account and all that kind of stuff. What he's saying here really is that work hard for the things you can control today and then trust God in the things that you can't. Work hard for the things, apply to that college, apply to that job, Work hard in your career. Be with your kids. Do all the things you need to do. Work hard at the things you're going to do. Strive for those good things. Strive for the things you can control. Work hard at them. But stop worrying about, stop complaining about, and start trusting in the things that you can't, to Jesus, to God. And we know he loves to give good gifts to his children. And he's challenging them here in a kind of sly way, saying, hey, you need to be a little more, think a little more like the birds who have a daily trust in God, a daily intimacy and trust in him. And guess what? God doesn't fail them. They're provided for. And I'll be honest with you, birds are a part of God's creation, and so he loves them. They're part of his creation, but they're nowhere compared to human beings. Human beings are the crown jewel of God's creation. There's an intimacy he made us for. There's a trust he made us for that cannot compare to the rest of creation. There's a relationship he made us for that cannot compare to the rest of creation. So if he's providing for the birds in this way, isn't he going to provide for us in this way as well? Don't you think? Now, this might seem a little simplistic. And Jesus kind of goes into it here with some questions that are really going to cut to the heart of the issue. And he says this, verse 27, he says, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? And then Jesus, as he always does, kind of quick little jab to the heart, says, oh, you of little faith. Oh, you of little faith. Oh, you who tends not to trust in God. You who doesn't have confidence that I'm going to provide. And you who doubts me at times. You of little faith. Now, I think many of us, and I've been there as well, many of us tend to put more confidence, more faith in our worry, in our anxiety, in our fear about how we're going to be provided for tomorrow, and we fail to trust in a God who promises to provide for today. We tend to put more confidence in our worry, in our anxiety, in our fear, and maybe that's because we've hung on to that for a while, and we're just really comfortable with it, and it's something, it's a crutch we can fall back on. We tend to put our faith more in that than we actually do in the God who promises to provide all things for us. I've been there. I'm sure you've been there. And I think that happens because we, especially in the Western world, I think we get a little bit of a sense of entitlement, don't you think? At times. We tend to be a little entitled. And the one thing I think we all think we are entitled to at some point is certainty and security. And this, we've seen this in this time. All you need to do is look, turn on the news and see one of our experts, to see our leaders saying, I don't know. We've never dealt with this before. We don't know what's going to happen. And when that happens, all you see families, you see couples, you see everybody just go into a state of panic, don't you? Because the ones that we have looked to for security, maybe, in our lives, like our leaders, maybe our politicians, maybe our business leaders, whatever that is in your life, and they don't know the future, maybe they don't even have a plan for the future, or maybe you just know, and this isn't a political statement, maybe you just know that the plan that they're doing now, maybe it's in your business or whatever, just isn't working. And they're trying to reconfigure and trying to back up their steps and look at it a different direction. We're all human. Do we at times tend to be entitled to certainty? We tend to think at times that we are. Man, I prayed enough this week, Lord. I prayed to you every single day. I was in the scriptures every single day. And we're still uncertain about things. I think a lot of us can approach our faith that way. But guess what? And Mark will be talking about this a little more next week. But God never promises certainty in that way. Never promises certainty in this life. He never promises ultimate security in this life. But he does offer focus. He does offer clarity. He does offer clarity. And Jesus gets to that here. He says, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. I just want to say, God, and maybe this isn't for everyone here, but God cares about what you care about because he loves you. God cares about what you care about because he loves you. He cares that maybe you don't have a job right now. He cares that maybe you're going crazy with your kids right now. He sympathizes with all of that, and he's still there, still wants to provide. And then here's the clarity. Don't miss this, okay? Verse 33, here's the clarity that God offers us. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Let me read that again. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So he's not giving us a don't worry, be happy kind of philosophy or careless philosophy about our anxiety or worry. He's not saying, you know, just float down the lazy river with the cappuccino or whatever and think, forget about the world. No, it's not what he's saying. He's not saying don't try, okay? He's saying, like we said before, he's saying do what you can do about what you can control today. And then he's saying trust God in the rest of it. Trust God in what you can't control. What he's saying here is that our anxiety, our worry, things we worry about, things we fear in the future, saying all of this is a problem of misaligned priorities. Misaligned priorities. And actually the solution is to reorder our priorities. Now, it doesn't mean the solution is going to be as soon as you reorder your priorities that boom, your worry's gone, boom, your anxiety is gone. But there's a heart shift when we do this. From maybe our priority being, man, I got to make more money. Man, I got to climb that career ladder. I got to do it. From moving our priorities from things of this world, as he talked about in verse 24. We move our priority from putting things on our heart that don't belong there to putting God, the provider, in that place. When we do that, God will blow us away in how he provides in our time of worry, anxiety, and fear. And here's kind of the application point for this morning, okay? Application point for this morning is this. When your worries get wider, prioritize the provider. When your worries get wider, man, they're wide right now, aren't they? Your worries are wide. I'll be honest with you, my worries are wide right now. When anxiety and fear seem to be ruling the day, as they do in our culture right now, when your worries get wider, prioritize the provider. Put him once again on the throne of your heart. Put him once again as the focus and the windshield of your life, where you're going, for yourself, for your family, for your friends. And focus on the one who loves to give good gifts to his children. It says in James, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. He wants to care for us. He does care for us. And guess what? He's able to care for us. He's asking us to trust him, to put our focus on him once again, to prioritize him in our lives. And he's going to blow us away with how he provides. When your worries get wider this morning, prioritize the provider. Prioritize him. Amen? We're a little shorter this morning, but I've never heard any of you complain when I go shorter or the sermons are shorter. I'm glad there weren't any cheers. Laughs are fine. When our worries get wider, prioritize the provider. Remember that as you go forward. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to gather together in your name. Jesus, you are the only one worthy of our hearts, of our devotion in our life. Lord, each and every one of us have had times when we're reaching for the wrong things, or maybe even overreaching for the right things. Help us to be patient. Help us to be humble. But Lord, above all, help us to prioritize you in our hearts. Father, there's so much uncertainty right now in our world. And we know you don't promise that for us. But you've provided clarity. Clarity of keeping you as number one in our hearts. So we focus on you. Individually, corporately. We give you the throne of our heart where only you deserve to be. Thank you, Jesus, for your life, your death, and your resurrection, for making this possible. We give you all of the praise today, every single bit of it. In Jesus' name, amen.